This morning, God's word comes to us from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians 4, we are going to read just the first 8 verses of this chapter. First Thessalonians 4, beginning at verse 1, what we hear now is God's word. Finally, then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God, just as you are doing, that you do so more and more. For you know what instruction we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one transgress and wrong his brother in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger in all these things, as we told you beforehand and solemnly warned you. For God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. Therefore, whoever disregards this, disregards not man, but God, who gives his Holy Spirit to you. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. I invite you to turn to the back of the Trinity Psalter to page 892 in the back section. Page 892, as this morning we will read together the two questions and answers of Lord's Day 41. I will read the question, we'll respond together with the answer. Lord's Day 41, question 108. What is God's will for us in the seventh commandment? Question 109. Does God, in this commandment, forbid only such scandalous sins as adultery? This morning, we look together at the seventh commandment, you shall not commit adultery. Well, I hope that as we continue our study of the law of God, that the beginning of the sermon is starting to sound somewhat familiar to you. And that is this, that the commands are much broader than simply a very strict reading of the words on the page. And our confession picks that up, particularly here in talking about the seventh commandment. What is God's will? God condemns all unchastity. Does God in this commandment only forbid adultery? We are temples of the Holy Spirit, body and soul, and God wants both to be kept clean and holy. This is why God forbids all unchaste actions. The commandment is broader than just simply an illicit act. But the commandment is a call to holiness. It is a call to purity in our lives and purity in our relationships. That is the same call that Paul gives to the Thessalonian church when he says in verse 3, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification." Children, sanctification means holiness or purity. This is God's will, that you be sanctified, that you be pure, and that you be holy. And so this morning, we're going to look together at this instruction from the Apostle Paul and God's call to all of us to purity. We read, Paul says, "Finally, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God, just as you are doing, that you do so more and more." It's not as if the church didn't know God's law. It's not as if they weren't living God's law, but Paul calls them once again to be reminded. This is God's call for you. A necessary reminder for God's people, perhaps particularly for this church in Thessalonica. Thessalonica was part of Greece. It's up in the northern area of Greece. When we think of Greece historically, we think of Greece as the birthplace of Western culture. The history of thought, of idea, of philosophy goes back to Socrates and Plato, the Greeks. The advent of a written history goes back to Thucydides and Herodotus, the Greeks. The nature of oratory, of public speaking, goes back to Demosthenes, the Greeks. The ideas in science of cause and effect goes back to Aristotle, the Greeks. The Greeks were, in many ways, the pinnacle of culture at that time and the roots of so much of Western culture. They were the height, the best of all things. And while they were brilliant, and while they were well-cultured, they were also incredibly immoral. Their religion was a religion of sexuality. It was expected to find prostitutes at their temple shrines. It was a time of promiscuity without remorse. Incredibly cultured, but incredibly immoral. And in that time, the church needed this reminder that they were called to be countercultural. They were called to live in a different way. They were called to holiness, and they were called to purity. And now you can see why a text like this is so applicable to us today. We live in a culture that is highly educated, that is scientifically advanced. Children, we don't think so much now about when a rocket blasts off and goes up into space and perhaps orbits the moon. Kids, when I was growing up, we had not gone to the moon yet. That would be something I recall watching on television when it happened. And now we take it rather casually. We think about the whole area of communication and the advancements in our ability to communicate with each other. When I was in college, kids, I would take a piece of paper and a pen, and I would write a letter to my parents once every couple months. But I would physically write a letter. We don't do that anymore because of the advancements. Now we have email. We have text messages, instant communication, highly advanced. We live in an amazing culture, well-educated, highly advanced, highly cultured, and yet incredibly immoral. Where we believe that as a society, it is up to us to define what a marriage is. We reject, as a society, God's definition, and we talk about committed, monogamous, homosexual relationships as a marriage. Beyond that, we feel we are so enlightened. That's it. It is up to us to define what a man and what a woman is. And yet, when the elites of society are pressed, can you tell me what a woman is? They are stymied by the question. Highly educated, but incredibly immoral. No moral basis for making decisions, no moral basis for a lifestyle. And so these words come to the church today. A call to us, a necessary reminder in that call to purity and that call to holiness. It's a necessary reminder for our children. Our children are bombarded by the immorality in society around us as it comes to them through the television, as it comes to them through the computer screen. And once again, we are called to reorient ourselves and to honor God with our minds and with our bodies. This is an ongoing process for those who are in the church. Paul says, I want you to do this more and more. They were doing it. Continue in this process. Verse 2, for you know what instruction we gave you through the Lord Jesus, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, your purity, your holiness. He's going to go on to spell that out just a bit more. He says that you abstain from sexual immorality. That you abstain. Abstain is a negative term. It's something that we don't do, something we stay away from. Paul is calling us here to avoid temptation, particularly sexual immorality temptation. He's saying, don't put yourself in a place where you will be tempted to sin. Abstain from that. Avoid that. Where we go, how we spend our time, with whom we spend it, these are all opportunities for temptation, and perhaps particularly for those of you who may be in dating relationships, that you not put yourself in a place, in a time, where you will be tempted overwhelmingly to sin. This has to do with how we spend our time. It has to do with the things that we look at, with the television shows that we watch, with the movies that we watch. I do not go to many movies. Once in a while, there'll be something that's worth going to see. And you know that movies are all given a rating. Movies have a different rating that they're given. They're given a G or PG or PG-13, other ratings. I would just remind you that the ratings the movies are given are ratings given by those in the world. If even the world is saying you should be careful when watching this, how much more for the church? What do we fill our minds with through our eyes? What do we let come into our minds and our hearts through what we see? And I think today it's even more difficult than perhaps in the past. It used to be the case that if you wanted to view pornography, you had to go to a particular part of town and to a particular type of store and find things there. Now, today, it comes into our homes. It comes in through our internet connections. And God calls us to purity. God calls us to holiness. And I would speak this morning particularly to the men in our congregation. Those images that come in and may seem so enticing are a trap and something that ensnares those caught in it. God calls us to purity, to holiness. Abstain from these things. Avoid these things. This is God's will, your sanctification, your holiness, your purity. He goes on to say in verse 4, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor. Now, whereas abstinence is a negative term, control is a positive term, something we do positively. That we have self-control. That we be aware of the temptations around us. We be aware of the dangers. And we control ourselves from going in those ways. Again, from verse 5, do this, he says, not in the passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God. He is speaking to the church. He says, don't act like the Gentiles because you're not the Gentiles. You are the people of God. You are those in whom God is active. You are those who know the fruit of the Spirit. We read that again this morning. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. This is the fruit of those who know Jesus Christ. This is the fruit of those in whom the Spirit is active. He says, control. Each of you must know how to control his own body in holiness and in honor. And he says, see to it that no one transgress and wrong his brother in this matter. Don't wrong your brother in this matter. As a reminder, that sexual sin, that adultery, is more than just between two people. It involves others. It involves spouses. It involves families. We are called to holiness in our relationships, not to wrong our brother, not to rob our brother of that which is rightly his. This is instruction for those who are married. It is instruction for those who are unmarried. That for those who are unmarried, that we in our life right now might not rob our future spouse of what is rightfully theirs. It is a call to purity in our relationships. Young people, one of the greatest gifts you can give to your spouse is your own purity and holiness right now. Right now. This is God's path. This is God's way. I knew, this is years and years ago, over 20 years ago, was friends with a high school student, and this was a good-looking young man, athletic, played instruments. He was the guy. He was the guy. All the girls wanted to date him. And he did date a few different girls during high school. But he said to me, Reverend Niemeyer, although I've gone out on a few dates, I have never kissed any of them. And we talked about that, and he said, no, No, I want to give as much to my future spouse as I can. And we talked a bit more about that, and this was he was a junior in high school. He said, this is a decision that I made when I was in fifth grade, when I became a teenager. I made the decision then to a commitment to holiness and purity, and by God's grace, he has allowed me to continue in that commitment. These are decisions that we don't make in the passion of passion. We make them when we are thinking, when we are sober, when we are mindful of God's call. The world will never understand it. The world will call this old-fashioned. Abstinence for the world is the punchline of a joke. Purity, holiness, that was for a different generation. The world will never understand. The world may mock. But this is God's way. This is God's plan. This is his will, your sanctification, your holiness, your purity. This is God's call. And it's a call that comes to the church once again today. A call from verse 7, for God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. Therefore, whoever disregards this, disregards not man, but God, who gives his Holy Spirit to you. It is a call for the church. For everyone, single and married, in everything, our thoughts, our sights, our activities. Why is God so concerned for his church? Why is God concerned with this particular sin? Because the sin that breaks the relationship of husband and wife is a reflection of our commitment to God himself. God uses the picture of marriage as a picture of Christ's relationship to his church. Christ is the husband. Christ is the one to whom we are to be devoted completely and exclusively, and nothing may come in the way of that. Our commitment to holiness is a reflection of our commitment to God himself, the husband of us, his church. God is so good. God is the one who seeks us out. God is the one who brings us in. God is the one who marries us, makes us his bride. It is all of him. And he calls us. He calls us to be committed, to be devoted to him. And that will be reflected not only in our relationship with him, but in our relationship with those around us. A commitment to holiness, a commitment to purity. This should be a matter of our prayers. That God help us to be wholly committed to him. Again, from verse 8, whoever disregards this, disregards not man, but God, who gives his Holy Spirit to you. Pray that the Spirit help you to be wholly devoted to God, and because of what he has done, because he has called you from darkness to light, because he has given you new life, that you be wholly devoted to his ways in your life and in your relationships. God calls us to follow after him because of what he has done. He calls you again to embrace Jesus Christ as Lord, as Savior, to know him as that bridegroom of the church. And then because of what he has done, to live your life in devotion in holiness to Him. You shall not commit adultery. More than just the words on the page. It is more than just a physical act. And it is a sin which does have far-reaching ramifications. But it is not the unforgivable sin. And if in your life you have violated God's call to holiness, He calls you today to confess your sin, to repent of your sin, to know God's absolute forgiveness of your sin, and then by the power of the Spirit, to commit once again to purity, to living God's way because of what He has done. This is the will of God, your sanctification. Let's join together in prayer. Lord our God, we thank You for Your word, for all of Your word. We thank You for the gospel, which reminds us what Jesus Christ has done for us, washing away all of our sins and making us Your own. We thank You for the law, a law which now calls us to live in particular ways because of what You have done. Well, Lord God, give us a greater devotion. Give us a greater commitment to purity in our relationship with You, in our relationship with those around us. Help us, Lord God, to hear Your call, our sanctification, and by Your Spirit, whom You have given to us, to more and more follow in Your ways. Hear our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen.